So yesterday we got through the end of the Gemara, and now I wanted to take a look at the very interesting Rashba, who has a couple of interesting comments. By the way, Jeremy, did you check? Did Ezra check, or do you know if he went? Oh, okay. I'll throw out the possibility just for the sake of argument, because Stern was giving me a hard time during Seder. So I want to throw out an interesting idea, which was the following. His suggestion was, initially, that perhaps Rav and Shmuel only said one thing, which was, Kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminan mevarach alabar meimizonos. And the Gemara, for some reason, expanded that, and it is a funny expression in the Gemara. V'itmar nami, that is a very anomalous expression. The itmar nami occurs all over the place, but itmar nami is normally when you have somebody hypothesizes something or puts forth a suggestion, and then they find some, let's say, earlier Amora also said that way. Itmar nami, somebody said the same thing. Here, the itmar nami is a statement that's actually different, at least when read carefully, is somewhat different, and the usage of v'itmar nami is particularly unusual because there's only one other place that occurs in Shas, and that may even be an error. In the Mesoros HaShas, at least, it's in parentheses. So it's not even clear if it exists. There is one Ksavyan here that doesn't have it, Ranami. And then it just has Viravu Shmuel Dami Tavayu. It's a new statement, in which I'm inclined to think it is here. So Jeremy is suggesting that maybe, in effect, maybe one was taken from the other as well. Maybe Kol Shehu is an extrapolation from Kol Sheyeshbo. And maybe the extrapolation...
extrapolation.
But wasn't the original statement?
Meaning that one of them, we're not sure which one is right.
Yeah, but you had a reason for saying that what Rav and Shmuel actually said was
Kol
Sheyeshbel. And the reason he wants to say that...
The Stam, or whomever, had these two statements, knew that Rav and Shmuel only said
one.
So trying to figure out which one was the...
No, but they didn't try to figure out which one. They just explained why you need both. But you want to argue...
But that's all a straw man to get to the signal of the signal.
Okay, I don't think that... But anyway, I'm gonna take a kernel out of what you were suggesting. The fact that the Rashba is going to say that the Gemara only rejected one and not the other, perhaps Rav and Shmuel only said Kol Sheyeshbo, but they didn't actually say Kol Shehu, and that's why, in fact, ultimately it is rejected. What's that? Now, I know that you're going to say to me... You're going to say, yeah, what's the problem with that?
I'm saying, why would the Gemara make up a statement of Rav and Shmuel only to like have a whole devoted to it?
Okay, so I'm going to just point. I wanted to point out the file. Yeah, Aaron.
Right, it's quoted elsewhere also.
No, what's quoted there? So I what I pointed out was simply the following, which is that you have Rav Huna, regardless of whatever statement Rav and Shmuel actually said. What appears in Erevin is Rav Huna is attempting to, at least the way it appears in front of us, attempting to defend Rav from the attack from the Mishnah by rereading the Mishnah, by saying that when the Mishnah says "Ano demen amazon," it means "Kol Omer, Omer Kol Hazan Alai." Now, if in fact Rav and Shmuel had not actually said that the only thing on which you make Bari Minei Mizonos is the Chamesh Asminei Dagon, then what would the kasha of the Mishnah have been that Rav Huna would have needed to defend Rav by means of rereading the Mishnah? So that proves at least that it's not just the Stama the Gemara's understanding of Rav, it's Rav Huna whose Talmud already understands that way, hence needs to give that answer. Now, what I suggested, of course, if Jeremy could have said in response to me, after a quick scan on the search on the computer... And it's highly speculative, but I asked them to go check if Halivni says this. It's the kind of thing I think he would say, which is it may be that Rav Huna's statement... I mean, the first thing you ask is Rav Huna's statement originally in a different context. However, the statement of Ba'omer Kol Hazan Alai doesn't appear anywhere else. But there is a statement of Rav Huna on a Mishnah in Ksubas that says Ba'omer Kol Hazan Eino Mafsid. It has to do with a completely unrelated topic. It's related to a man who's madir his wife Hana, but he still owes her support, so he really in theory has to divorce immediately. So the Mishnah says though he can have for 30 days he can be ma, or a certain amount of time, if it's 30 days or something, he can be ma'amid a parna, someone else to support her. Now presumably nobody's going to do it if they're going to be out the money, but he can't have a shaliach either to do it, because then that's basically she's getting hana from him. So Rav Huna says, "Ba'omer kol hazan einu mafsid." So the statement does say kol hazan, but it means completely something different. In one case, Be'omer kol hazan alai, it's explaining what the Mishnah person in the Mishnah, what the person's neder was. In the other case, it's when the husband says that kol hazan eino mafsid, right? Now that's how he is a mamed aparnas. So unless one wants to argue that the Gemara simply borrowed Rav Huna's terminology to give the answer with a from a completely different context and used it in Erevin, so then my question is going to remain in place. That even if you want to argue that Rav and Shmuel only said one of the statements, no matter which statement you think that they said, the implication, as was understood already by Rav's Talmud, was the way the Gemara takes it here, and that's what the Gemara makes the tufta on. So it won't solve that problem. It won't, even if you argue Rav and Shmuel only said one thing, and that won't help you get out of the Gemara's tifta by saying that that which the Gemara was most of them on was not that which they actually said, because that is actually what they said. In other words, whatever statement exactly they uttered, and whatever diuk is made from it or not made from it, it's clear that Rav Huna understood that the Mishnah in Erevin was a kasha against Rav, and if it was a kasha against Rav, it was a kasha because Rav said you make mizonos only on the Chamesh Yismin Dagan, and the Mishnah says on no demon amazon is also in everything except for Mayim and Melach. Now, one other note, though, that I would point that would support the argument that I'm rejecting now, that in fact Rav Huna never said in reference to the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah is not really a kasha against Rav and Shmua. Tosis already highlights this point, the difficulty, which is, what's the alternative to Rav and Shmua? What's the alternative? Rav and Shmuel say you only make mezonos on Chamesh Yismei Dagan. What's the alternative? No way, Ami.
Anything that's sustained.
What does that mean? What would you have said?
Or isn't
Dochan. Okay? Even if you want to extend it a little bit beyond that, it would be grains or something like that, things of substantial amount. But the kasha from the Mishnah in Erevin would be a kasha against everybody. Because according to the Mishnah in Erevin, Yurakos and apples and every single thing except for Mayim and Melach would be included in a Muslim. Would anybody say you would make a Barim Mayim Mizonis on that? Which means that the Kash is really a straw man. What's that?
Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. Afilu Shalach
Mahum Mizonah. A different form of Rabbi Akiva
Shita. Yeah, okay. You know, but you know that's a kvetch. Even Rabbi Akiva doesn't say you say Barim Mayim Mizonis on it. He just says that you make Berch Samazon afterwards.
No, I know. So I'm saying maybe another form of that.
The question was such a weak question. The answer is obvious, even without Rav Huna saying it, that Muslim means one thing in one context and another thing in another context. So I'm not arguing it's compelling. I'm just now defending the hypothetical position. One might argue that Rav Huna's statement was really borrowed from another context. So it's not Rav Huna who's defending Rav from the Mishnah. It's the Gemara who's defending Rav from the Mishnah, in which case, you know, his suggestion can come back once again, which is maybe Rav and Shmuel only spoke about the issue of Taroves. They never spoke about the Be'en. And they were arguing that. They weren't telling you what to get Sporim and Amazonas. They were arguing that the Chamesh Yismini Dagan are so special that even B'Tarovis they get a bracha. That's not a statement, though, about what happens when it's not B'Tarovis. Maybe even Rav and Shmuel could have had a broader set of qualifying substances, and hence the Gemara's Tifta was only against the hypothetical position of Rav and Shmuel. And that's what his suggestion was. Interesting? Okay. Again, it's very speculative to say that, you know, without another place really to put Rav Huna. But that's why I wanted you to check Kalivni, because it's the kind of thing. And I don't mean that lignai, but my chush tells me it's the kind of thing he would say. Have you read enough Kalivni to get an impression? No. Okay. Fine. Let's take a look now at the Rashba, right? So we spoke about what did the Gemara reject. So the Rashba says, Shlomo, you want to read for us? Sure you do. Go ahead.
Tifta of the Rav Shmuel Tifta. Hado Sinan Tifta of the Rav Shmuel. Adviko Bilvat. Tidei Kinan Vahid Amiran Koshu Me Chamesh Asminin. Timishtama Minei Lumiute Kosh Araminin. Vafilu Dohan Vorez.
So it's not even on the statement as much as on the Diyuk, which was made from the statement.
Adgufa de Milsa Hil Chasahi. The Koshu Me Chamesh Asminin. Mevarchan Alav. Vorem Inim Zonos.
You know, even look at his statement. That's what Rav and Shmuel said. Right? It's only the diuk. Okay. Okay.
I know.
Okay.
Rav Kahana b'yadcha, Nakot de Rav Kahana b'yadcha, Rav Shmuel, Damar Tarayu, Kosh Yishba, Mechamisha Saminin, Mevarkan Allah b'rimin mizonos. V'haynu da asikna l'kaman da b'riyata, Afilu de Mechozen, Mevarkan Allah aminin mizonos. With Rav Shmuel, Damar Kosh Yishba, Mechamisha Saminin, V'had Rav Shmuel, Kosh Yishba, Lo Yisus of Klach.
Okay, stop for 1 second. Now, did anybody notice Rava's Shita later? Did anybody look at what the Gemara says? It's very interesting. It raises certain caution flags. Rava, the Rashba quotes this. He says, What, anybody see that Gemara? Before you look, there's something unusual about the Gemara. Rava changed his mind. Rava started out by saying that one of them you make a mizonos on, and one of them you make a shahakal on. And then Rava said, nope. He says both of them you make a mizonos on because of Rav and Shmuel. It's very interesting why, because it suggests that the halach of Rav and Shmuel was in effect rofefes biyadam. It was sort of like not exactly established yet, even as late as the time of Rava. Right, if you look at the Gemara Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, after the two dots, Amar Rava, Hayriyata the Chaklay Demafshi Be Kimcha. If you put a lot of flour in Mevarach Barimin Mizonos, my time of the Smida Ikar, the Soles is the Ikar, and therefore you make Mizonos. The Mechoza the Lomafshi Be Kimcha, that which they make in Mechoza, as opposed to I guess in the fields, you know, urban versus suburban Riyata. No, Mechoza is the city. Chaklay is the fields. It's kind of funny because what the word is rihata. You know what the word rihata means?
Running.
Right. The pace of life is different in Machoz than it is in the Chaklai. Okay. So anyway, so the rihata. So he says the v'hadar amarava idi. So my time a dufsha ikar. You make a shako because the dvash is ikar. V'hadar amarava idi v'idi bari minei mizonos. The rabu shmuel the ami tavaya kol sheish bo chamesha saminim v'varachal abari minei mizonos. It's very odd. What happened all of a sudden that clicked that Rava just changed his mind because of Rav and Shmuel? It's very, very interesting. I don't know what to make of it. I don't have any explanation. Eitan.
Does that mean that he didn't, can we take away from that he didn't know Rav and Shmuel, and then once he
either didn't know it or he Right. Or he originally didn't hold of it and he changed his mind and held of it. That's the alternative.
Is that more realistic than what I suggested? That he didn't know about it until he got found it somehow?
Well, finding it is odder. It's not inconceivable. Both are possibilities. Both are possibilities, but they both strike. In other words,
they're both weird.
Yes. Yes, they're both a little striking. Again, it's not that it's striking that Rava could change his mind about something. And it's like out of the blue. Hadar Amar Rava, it's like he was thinking it through. What changed? What didn't he know at the beginning? And what changed his mind? What did he change his mind, Shalom?
I mean, it could also be that he reinterpreted Rav Shmuel, because at first he's talking about, looking at it through Bikar and Tafel, but, this is the Bikar and that's the Bikar. Then he realizes that Rav Shmuel, maybe they really weren't talking about Bikar and Tafel. They were saying any time there's any Mizonos in it,
the problem with that is you're going to have to make it work with the Gemara later. You have to figure out how it fits. If you look on Lamed Tesem and Aleph, towards the bottom, Amar Rav Ashi, it's about two-thirds of the way down on the page. Amar Rav Ashi, Kiyavinan bei Rav Kahana Amar lan Tavshila de Silka de Lomafshiba Kimcha Bar Priyadama de Lifta de Mafshiba Kimcha Tvei Bar Mine Mizonos Vahadar Amar Idi Vi Idi Bar Priyadama Vahadashadi Be Kimcha Tveila de Buke Be Alma Avdilai. Now, here the later Amar Ram Ravashi's even later seems to assume that, in other words, then it's going back and forth if what you're saying is correct. In other words, it starts out Rav and Shmuel as being Ikar Tafel, and he thought it wasn't Ikar in this case. And then he turned around and realized that no, they mean any time he's in it. And then later, two generations later, they flip back the other way, which is possible. See, a way of avoiding that problem would be to say, is that originally they thought he thought that Rav and Shmuel, I mean, I don't know what he thought about Rav and Shmuel. I don't know how, what did he originally change. In other words, I would like to say that it had to do with what the threshold makes something an Ikar. He originally thought one way, and then he realized that no, that Rav and Shmuel's dictum applies even in his case. And Rav Ashi is not differing from Rava. It's that that's the extreme case where it's just the glue in the Tavshil. So it doesn't have to, and there could be a machlokas here.
I'm just going to say that the idea of the Duke of the Amma is a later development also. So meaning like Rav was first understood as being about Ikar and Tavshil, then Rav said no, it applies across the board, and then a later development is, oh, but it only
applies across the board.
And the Duke of the Amma is just another consideration brought in later on the later one.
Okay, it's possible. Not unreasonable. David?
Can you read it as that Rava really said the first thing, and then from my time is an extrapolation, and then the Gemara then brings Rava to say, no, it's not an issue of Ikar and Tafel, it's just that it's an issue of Rav and Shmuel's din, so this way Rava wouldn't be contradicting himself or changing his mind.
No. It's clear. Even if the maitaimas are not part of his statement, I mean, that is the correct approach to say. Rav originally said one the mafshi b'kimcha. I think that's going to be the correct reason anyway. In other words, take out the maitaimas, but hadarama Rava is a quotation.
Right.
Rav originally said that the chakloi the mafshi b'kimcha mevarach by minei mizonos the mechoza the lo mafshi b'kimcha mevarach al shachlim b'dvar. It's pretty clear why. Right? In other words, because when you only have it, when you have a lot of it, it's an ikar. When you have a little bit, it's a tough. I mean, I think, but the Gemara fills in the issue, but it's almost clear. In other words, I don't think there's an alternative viable interpretation. So, but even if you take those out, Hadar Amarava means he changed his mind about something. In other words, yes, I think your point is, you're technically correct, but I don't think it has any implications for exegesis. Okay. So anyway... So the Rashba. So where did we get onto that? Yes. So he says basically that the explicit parts, you know, remain, are accepted. It's just the diuk that's rejected. V'hilkach. Okay, and as that remains, in fact, the fact that you only do it, the only things that become dominant are Chamesh Asamine Dagan, you know, or that are definitionally dominant. Jeremy?
This is something now, I apologize, to go back to the Sugya on the Zayin. If Kol Shehu existed, right? Why isn't that a question on Rava using Kol Sheyeshbo as a proof?
You lost me. Well, you never got me.
Rava brings as his explanation Kol Sheyeshbo.
Right.
Right. Kol Shehu.
No, it's not. No, because it's Riyata the Chatloi is something that's got a lot of other stuff in it, honey, oil, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Some of it has a lot. Some has a lot of flour. Some has a little flour. In both cases, it may be. In other words, certainly in the case where there's the lo mafshi b'kimcha, it's a minority portion in terms of ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So, kol shehu doesn't apply there.
Well, that's exactly the question. Meaning, why isn't the question asked, how can you include that where the kemach is not the ikar, right? Because kol shehu, the chamesh adamid, right? And has to be, the kemach has to be the ikar due to kol shehu.
So that's why Rava changed his mind. I don't understand where you're going with this.
Well, so he's choosing one statement of Rav and Shmuel.
The one that's relevant to his case.
But Kol Shehu is also relevant to his case, but to exclude that which he's including. Meaning it's a challenge for him.
He needs Kol Sheyeshbo, right?
Correct.
Right, that's the one that's relevant to Rava's case.
Right.
And that's the one he quotes, right?
So he just selected whatever Ma'amar best gives the psak that he wants to give.
He's fitting the one that's relevant. What do you mean?
No,
the best?
The other one's relevant, but
it's not relevant. The other one just tells you that if I have a wheat bread, a piece of wheat bread that I make, not wheat bread, I have a Wheaties, I make mezonos on it. That's all it tells you. It doesn't tell you what happens if I have a little wheat, in my cornflakes.
That's because you understand those phrases based upon the way the Stam interpreted them.
Well,
with the Trichuta. But that Rava didn't have the Stam.
But what I'm telling you is that's very nice. But again, I think that if you go, it's clear already Rav Yosef understood Rav and Shmuel's statement a certain way, right? Rav Yosef says, Kavase de so-and-so mistabra, right? Kavase, where is it? Kavase de Rekana mistabra, Rav and Shmuel Damich Kodesh Shacham Mishnaminim, on Lamed Vav Amid Beis. It's clear Rav Yosef already had, Rav Yosef, who was one of Rava's sort of, I don't know if it's Rebbe, but Rava was more his Rebbe, but certainly Rava was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, I believe. So his own Rebbe already understood the statement of Rav and Shmuel, whichever one it was, it was Kol Sheyesh Bo. That's how he understood it, at least one of the statements. Even if he only had one, that's the one he had. So it makes perfect sense for Rava to quote that and say, you know what, I changed my mind. Okay. Fine. So now the Rashba continues. Wow. This is one wild shita. Well, we have to figure out what it is, but let's lay out what the fact is first. Before you try to figure out what the lumdus might be, let's get the facts straight. The fact is the Gaonim see the two as inseparable for whatever reason. And therefore, on the one hand, while this sugya presents some kind of tufta, on the other hand, Amoraim in the sugya that precedes it, and Amoraim in the sugya that follows it, assume like Rav and Shmuel. So it must be we paskin like Rav and Shmuel. Now, there are two issues here. One, which I can't answer. I should say, I can't answer, but I'm dying to know, is what did the Gemara that the Gaonim had in front of it look like? How much of the Gemara is the Gaonim, and how much of the Gemara is the Gemara? And I don't know there's no way to know the answer to that question. Kisfayad don't exist that early. They may have, if they did exist that early, they don't exist anymore. We don't have them. What?
The Rambam apparently had one.
The Rambam thinks he had a manuscript 500 years old. I suspect that the manuscript he was incorrect on the dating.
Now we know how to date it.
That's correct. How would he have known how to date it? Yes, there's no doubt. It's a famous passage in the Rambam, I think, and I want to say it's in Perek Tesvav Hilchos Mechira, or Milvav Malvav Lovatim, where he quotes this ancient piece of parchment. He says it looks like 500 years old or something like that. So he's probably off.
Even so,
it might have been 200 years old for that matter.
It might have been a section. We have written down like a piece of sugya.
I doubt it was 500 years old. Let's put it that way.
Who knows if the writing was like 50 years old?
Whatever. Anyway,
at the same time, when the Rambam says he has something that's old, so there has to be. We have Gaonic writings also. And the Gaonim are quoting
relatively
the
Gemara. Late.
So where did the Gaonim?
Relatively late. So anyway, you're talking about you have Gaonic writings probably 9th century. We don't have anything earlier than that.
Okay, but they all
that's
seem the to earliest. Have a written Gemara.
I'm not going to discuss that issue now. I don't know what we know about
okay.
that. But the bottom line is that, so I would love to know what their Gemara looked like, because the Gemara says Tiufta, and the Rashba is obviously extremely puzzled by this. And he's puzzled by it because he set up such a nice system in which Rav and Shmuel said two different things, and even though you reject one, you can accept the other. Now, what we might have said on our own, if you were going to say, what conclusion might you have reached different than the Rashba reached? Which he could not have had as much of a quibble with you. What could you have done? If Rav and Shmuel said these two different things, what could you have said once the Gemara reaches the Tufta? That's what the Rashba says. What could you have said? Okay, you could have rejected both of them. You could have rejected everything that Rav and Shmuel said once you had a Tufta on one part. That's what you could have said. It wouldn't have been unreasonable. In other words, I could have made the following very simple extrapolation. That the difference between Orez and Chita is that Orez is never a Lechem, and therefore it never has a Motzi and never has Berach Samazam. But other than that, when you're not talking about Lechem issues, you make a Mizonos, you make an Alamechia, and it doesn't matter whether or not it is alone, it doesn't matter whether you mix it within something else. You know, it fills the same role of Chita. Because that which makes it an Ikar is not that which makes it lechem. Lechem is a specific din based upon other considerations, such as chimutz, but that has nothing to do with, but that has nothing to do necessarily with other brachos, you know, borim nemizonos and so on and so forth. Aaron,
are you saying that you could have rejected both things?
You could have rejected everything Rav and Shmuel said, and you could have said Orez v'dochan have mamish for the purposes of birchas hanenin, except for hamotzi, except for not being lechem. Therefore, motzi masamasam have the exact same din as chita. And as when you're dealing with non-bread, chameshes miyadagan, orez, and maybe orez v'dolchan have the same din.
If you don't have to go that far, you have the right to...
You can
why can you reject the yukim that the stam made on the Rav and
Shmuel? I'm not arguing that you can't say what the rush...
That would just be one smaller
stuff. Why would I want to say that I'm rejecting all of Rav and Shmuel? Why? Presumably for the same reason the Gaonim are accepting all of Rav and Shmuel.
So what's the power of the Gaonim that you just explained that to?
Because the Gemara rejected Rav and Shmuel.
But then you have those other places where...
So the Gemara rejected him. The Gemara rejected that position.
But we have two other places where Amoraim take
that position. No. So you're getting hung up on the Rashba. We were trying to explain the Gaonim, though. The Rashba we understand. The Rashba says that which was rejected was rejected. That which was not rejected stands. And Eyal, I want to go a step further. I think one second. No, Eyal, wait. I disagree with you because what the Gemaras demonstrate. You can reject Rav and Shmuel. If you reject Rav and Shmuel in toto, what do you wind up with? What's the din? Tell me two dinim if you reject Rav and Shmuel completely. You say Mizonos on Orez V'dochan, and you say Mizonos, one second, on Orez V'dochan B'Tarobis. Accepting that, in other words, the Amoraim who hold of Rav and Shmuel, they do not hold that it's exclusively by Chamesh Shmini Dalkan. What was their Havamina? What was the Havamina that both Rav Yosef is coming to address and Rava had?
Okay, fine, but they're basing that. The only way they could say it is if they accept Rav and Shmuel's statement.
They accept the notion. In other words, Rav and, so there's a part of Rav and Shmuel. Again, they're rejecting what the way the Gemara presented Rav and Shmuel, that it's that kol she yeshbo and not anything else when it's yeshbo.
Right.
So I could say that I'm, in other words, what's the alternative position of Rav and Shmuel? If you see Rav and Shmuel as a package, that they're inseparable, what you're really saying is that it's not such a big chiddush when you put grain into something, chamesh is made dagon, because why is it that you make a mizonos on it? Because that's by definition the ikar. And that would apply to any type of staple grain that you put inside it. In other words, Rav and Shmuel's chiddush may not be that great in terms of the taroves piece.
But the Gaonim are working with the Gemara's conclusion, according, like, meaning the, once the Gemara put Rav and Shmuel...
The Gaonim are saying that Rav and Shmuel is a package deal. I want to explore the package deal on the other end, which I think works better. On the other end, the package deal, if we view them as a package deal and we reject them, what we would say is that you make mizonos on Orez V'dochan and even V'taroves, not just the Chamesh Shmini Dagan. One second, hear me. And then it's not against Rav Yosef, and it's not against Rava, and it accepts the Tuft of the Gemara as well. Right? Because we reject Rav and Shmuel. That's now, the Gaonim, I just want to set that up. Nobody says that, I think. Nobody says that. I want to set that up to show you where the Gaonim are going with it. They see it as a package deal, and they decide that somehow we do accept Rav and Shmuel, And therefore they say that we ignore the Tifta. Yes, Aaron.
So maybe I'm just not reading it right, but it seems like the basis of the Tifta is that you say Shahako on Horus. That's why it's...
You say Mizonos on...
It says Lokamasek there. It says Kamasek Adera in that you say...
No, that's only that's at an interim point. The maskana of the Gemara is the brisa that says that you say mizonos mamish.
So we don't even need that part.
No, when I want to, we'll talk. That's going to be relevant in a different issue. That's going to be relevant in the question of Oriz versus Dochan, right? But for the moment, the maskana of the Gemara is clear. We have a brisa that says that's not Rav Yochanan Menuri and says that you make a mizonos on Oriz. So the Gaonic position, we understand conceptually, but not textually where they're going. And the Rashba doesn't either. See, the Rashba has set things up. See, if Rashba hadn't set up the pins, you know, all the bowling pins, so the assumption was that we would have fused everything together and thrown Rav and Shmuel out the window. And what conclusion might we have reached? We could have reached one of two conclusions. Either that you don't make mizonos unless the grain is be'en, or that you make mizonos even when Orez V'dochan is not be'en. But once the Rashba comes along and says, no, you reject what you need to reject, which is only the diuk on the second statement. And again, now, why should you make a difference between, why should you reject the diuk on the second statement but not the diuk on the first? I don't know. Meaning, you reject it because the Gemara only disproved one. But once you're saying Oriz V'dochan is like Hamesh Yasmini Dagan when it's Be'en, why shouldn't it be like Hamesh Yasmini Dagan when it's Betarobas? What? Really? Without another...
There's where a place where it ends with Kasha.
Kasha is different. Kasha assumes, you know what, there's a rush in Brachos you should all be aware of. I don't know where the rush is, though. Maybe it's here. No, I think it's earlier in the Masechta somewhere. Where he says the difference between Kasha and Tifta is that Kasha is that there's an answer, Tifta there's no answer. Okay, so it's earlier. Okay.
But still, we see that it exists. A problem, whether it's a Kasha or a Tifta, can still exist.
So you have to... I'm sorry, but...
A problem, whether it's a kasha or a tiyupta, can still exist, and yet we don't...
Do you know of any cases where the Gemara's maskana seems to be tiyupta? See, the Gemara usually asks tiyupta v'hilchasa. So the Rashba's answer to that question here is that the Gemara only rejects part of Rav, the part that the Amoraim... not the part that the Amoraim are accepting. But just to have the Gemara come to tiyupta, and it seems to have thought it was a really good tiyupta, because remember the Sugya Irvin says, v'lavo svinach adezinna. So it's odd for the Gemara not to ask that question if it really was assuming that way. And I would like to know of another case where the Gemara Mamish comes to Tiyufta and we ignore it. And the Gemara has a few places in Shas where it says Tiyufta v'hilchasa. And the Gemara says Tiyufta v'hilchasa karplani. And the Gemara asks, it's probably stumbling, we're asking Tiyufta v'hilchasa. I don't remember what the answer is. It's one in Ksubas, I think Daf Tes, I want to say Daf Tesvavim and Beis or something like that. It's about in the Chatzi, no, above a comma, Tesvavim and Beis. In the Chatzi Nezek, Mama Chatzi Nezek Kanal Sing. You can look and see what you'll get the Masoros HaShas there, but, I mean, everything. Give me a, what am I saying? Ksubas? Ksubas, Baba Kama. The Gemara on Tezvav Amid Bey says, V'hilchasa palga nizka knasa. Tiyufta v'hilchasa. So the Gemara explains why it really wasn't the Tifta in the first place. Okay, and then you got to look in Erevin, a couple of places, and one other place, I think, in Subas it appears. You have to look and see. But I think the Gemara asked the question and explained why the Diuk from the Bryce that was the Tifta really wasn't the good Diuk. Right? But the Gemara doesn't ask that here. Aaron?
When you said Tifta, isn't it Rabbi Shmuel that said you have two statements? So rejecting the second.
Yes.
That's why. I just want to. It's not like they said one thing.
So you're saying the Rashba?
Yeah, I know.
I understand.
You said it like they were saying one thing, and we chose.
No,
what
but
we
I'm trying
say.
To explain the Gaonim. Right? And as you find the Rashba very appealing.
Yeah.
The truth is, if you move in a Stern-like direction of trying to see it as not being two different statements, the Gaonim. See, that's why I'm dying to know what the Gaonim had in front of them. Because one starts to
not
wonder.
All the
what?
Not all the Gaonim. Clearly, if you look at Otar Gaonim.
Yeah.
Clearly, other positions.
Okay.
Rav Haigon and Rav Hudaigon are well. That might be. So you're talking about two major figures here, who seem to have a view. I want to know what they had. When you say the Otzar Gonim, what do you find the Otzar Gonim? Did you look in the Otzar Gonim?
Yes.
And what did you find?
You find Mizonos. Of course, something's Mizonos.
Make a mizonos on what? On Ores? Okay. So the question is, do you have a, it's not like there's some strange errant manuscript, you know, that we've discovered, and maybe it's just a Tos Sofer. Clearly, this position is known to be tied to the Gaon. Where are they coming from? I mean, it's a wild position.
Tie them together, just like you
I tying them together, I can
no
see.
Problem.
But now you should reject it all.
But you have the other place where they accept Rabbi Shmuel, and they think that the inference is part of the statement. So once you reject the inference, you reject the statement.
Yes, but then what is the Gemara? Why does the Gemara not ask that question? It's not. Why is the Gemara puzzled over the fact that Rav and Rabbi Yosef, you know, seem to be high and mighty on this position of Rav and Shmuel, which is rejected? By the sugya that's later, remember. The presentation, by the way, is so odd. There's a little bit of, it's not a chiastic structure, but it's like ABA, where you get on the one end, you get Rav Yosef supporting Rav Kahana, you know, based upon Rav and Shmuel. You get the discussion of Rav and Shmuel, the rejection of Rav and Shmuel, and then you get Rava paskening the exact same din, right? Riata de Chakloi, Rashi says, is Chavitza. It's very odd. I mean, firstly, this whole Gemara from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amid Beis to the top of Lamed Zayin Amid Beis is basically a hefsek between two sugyas that belong together. Except for then I ask the question, why does the Gemara use two different terms? One is Riata, and one of them is Chavitz, and I don't know. I have absolutely no idea.
That about Slav, though.
I mean, I don't know if these are coming from two different yeshivas or something. It's very odd. I mean, I can always speculate that. Okay. You know, but even more so, what is the Gemara doing in the middle? It doesn't, you know, it don't add up, as they would say. It just doesn't, something that the Gaonim must know that we don't know, the Rashba is also puzzled by it. It's very strange, Chaim.
Could it be that they just felt that since it's Rav and Shmuel who are saying this, that it could just be that the Gemara itself couldn't figure out why, you know, that basically the Gemara came, you know, Stam came up with good questions against it, but nonetheless, Rav and Shmuel did clearly hold by this idea.
They did, but there's a brisa against them, and the Gemara says Tufta.
But nonetheless, the point is, since no other straight out opinion is offered, other, you know, at least on a Amora level,
yeah, it's on a Tannaitic level.
Okay, no, but the point is, there's no Amora Davka giving the Shita otherwise, and it's just the Stam comes along and has.
Why? What about the fellow Rav Yehuda who argued on Rav Kahana? Rav Yehuda said Shakal Nebedvaro on Chavitz Kedera.
Okay. I mean, isn't that supporting Robin?
No, he's to make a shakal, not a mizonos.
Robin Shmuel will say you
make a mizonos. Whenever kosher yeshbo mechamesha samim,
rachamim mizonos.
Yes.
Would
Rav and Rav Yosef's statement just show that the inference that the Gemara made was wrong? And then you don't have those problems.
It doesn't show that the inference of the Gemara. I mean,
the fact that they accepted it for the Gaonim. The fact that Rav and Rav Yosef accepted this Rav and Shmuel statement shows that the Gemara's inference was wrong.
Yeah, I know, but again, see,
the
problem is that the Gemara comes to a different conclusion. You got to remember.
You have different so
what? When the Gemara, see, remember, Hilchos HaKavasroi. I don't mean that in a you know, that ends the discussion now, but it Hilchos HaKavasroi is a way that the Gaonim worked. So the fact that the if the Gaonim said that the Amoraim's position sheds light on how we are to read the Tiftan Rav and Shmuel, that would be one thing. That's in effect what the Rashba is doing, without telling you that. I mean, the Rashba can argue it both based upon logical grounds and textual grounds. From a logical position, all that the Gemara has refuted of Rav and Shmuel is the diyuk. From a textual perspective, other Amoraim held of Rav and Shmuel's din, hid the Beferish part, and therefore we have to assume that part is never rejected. But the Gaonim used the fact that the Amoraim hold like Rav and Shmuel to simply reject the Gemara on Lamed Zayim and Aleph. That's why I want to know what they had in front of them. Shalom.
I mean, one thing that's interesting, just sort of going along the lines of what I was saying, is that the option in both cases, in the later sugya and the earlier sugya, is between saying shakal and saying zono.
So there, the question of Tarobet is not whether Oren Dohan should be included in Tarobet, but whether Tarobet should be within it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it seems like the Chiddush of Rav and Shmuel is Tarobet itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I
said this already, though. My point was that what I would say, therefore, is that when the Gemara rejects Rav and Shmuel, you can reject the entire package, meaning not the Tarovis piece. Notice what we're going to reject of Rav and Shmuel is the idea that Oriz V'Dochan are different than the Chamesh Asminim. We can accept the fact that B'Tarovis is just like when it's Be'en. And therefore, when you have Oriz V'Dochan B'Tarovis, you make a mizonos. And by taking that approach, you don't have to reject Rav Yosef or Rava. Because all they're confirming is the Tarobas aspect, not the Min aspect.
But you could say that for Rav Yosef and Rava, rejecting Rav and Shmuel would mean that in Tarobet you wouldn't make a mizonos.
Agreed. So in principle, we're not rejecting... I agree. The position I'm arguing that you reject Rav and Shmuel as a package, not to reject both statements, but to reject simply the Min aspect of the statements. In other words, just as another and the exclusionary aspect. In other words, nobody rejects Rav and Shmuel's statements literally. Nobody rejects that, right? Because everybody says you make a mizonos on chamesh asminim dagen. Period. So the question is, when I say reject, I mean reject everything across the board. The Gaonim are basically saying min matters. We accept Rav and Shmuel across the board. I'm arguing a better argument would have been, you know, in other words, reject the min distinction across the board. And that would work with Rav Yosef and Rav Kana. And as you're accepting the principle of Tarovis, just not Rav and Shmuel's distinction. Now, I should add one point, though, Shalom. It might very well be that your point is not correct, because if Rav and Shmuel made both statements, it would appear, what was the focus of the second statement? It was min-focused, wasn't it? So it sounds like the first statement is also min-focused.
All right, the next thing I was going to say is
That comes back to that goes back to the point that Rav Huna certainly understood Rav, if it's Rav Huna speaking, if it's really Rav Huna speaking, when he said Ba'omer Kalazan Alai, as being min focused. Yes, wouldn't we love if we could just practice a little necromancy and just find out what they out of mind? Just curious.
Isn't that frowned upon generally?
It's frowned upon. It's frowned upon for two reasons. It's frowned upon because it's also, and for some of us, it's frowned upon because it doesn't work. So, but you know, the truth is, I could do that. We could have a seance, and I could just make up. I'll decide. You give me a few minutes to think. I'll decide what I want. I'll make up the history as it happened, and you'll just accept it.
Is there a turban involved?
Okay.
We call it Das Torah?
Yeah.
So
your suggestion to just reject it across the board, just because it wouldn't make sense to accept Orez when it's on its own, but not when it's a Tarovet, that can't work, because in the Gemara, at the beginning, that's what they wanted to do. That's why you need Kol Shehu. They were
No, Eyal, I'm granting you, I'm ignoring... No, the Gemara... Yeah, but we reject Rav and Shmuel. The question is, what do we reject, Lamaskana?
Regardless of whether you reject it, but your whole point is that... If you reject the fact that Orez, you wouldn't say Mizonot when it's the aim. Yeah. So then there'd be no reason not to reject when it's in Tarovet.
And if you accept that you make a Mizonos on his ban, I'm saying that one could logically argue that you should also make it when it's the Tarovet.
But how could you argue? The Gemara says.
The Gemara's presentation of
Rav...
You would have thought, but how does the Gemara Lamaskana present Rav and Shmuel? That you make it on Chamesh Yisminim only, whether it's Be'en or B'Tarovas.
I know, but the Gemara is saying it's logical to believe...
No, it means you might have made a distinction.
That means it's logical to make that distinction.
Maybe. I agree. Okay. Moshe? I made it on my way earlier to say the only distinction that the Tosefta puts forward is lechem, hamotzi and birchas hamazon.
Right, but when the Tosefta says afal pisha kulos kiyavos,
you still only make mizonos and alamichia.
I understand, so that from there, could you then, I guess,
I think you can go either way. But from there, the same way, if it's Koses as a Orez, it's parallel in Koses as a Chita. Could you say that Tarobus and Orez?
No, the reason I think not is the whole point. I said this b'havla earlier. The reason I think why the Chamesha Saminim have the din of Lechem and nothing else, because Lechem is tied to the definition of Chimutz, of Chametz and Matzah. Okay, and if it doesn't have the potential of chimutz, namely of gluten, so then it can never be lechem. And that's why the lechem aspect, the brachos, will never be given to rice and dochan and so on and so forth.
But
Eyal is correct. The Gemara does at least entertain as a havamina one might have had to distinguish between, and we do lemaisa distinguish. Lemaisa we distinguish between, we don't accept the gaonic position. Lemaisa we distinguish between rice b'en and rice b'taroves when it's a minority.
But I'm saying even the Tosefta, it seemed like you could read it that way if Hussis Achita, you're saying one is Hamodi, Tarovis is a step down, and then with Horus.
But why? You can't ignore the why.
No, you could answer the why for Brian Mizonos on Orez, Lagabe Chita. It's not the same by that comparison of Chimutz. But then with Tarovis, it shouldn't even come to the equation. It's so obvious.
It's a random counting game. That's what you're doing.
And
how do I assess the weight? it's one notch down. So we move it one notch down. In this area, that area.
Chita, it's also one notch down.
No.
By Tarovis, where the Prusas are not Kayamas.
Yes, because why? It's nothing to do with the species. It's because there's no Tsuras Apas.
I understand.
So, and the point is, rice never has Tsuras Apas.
No, but in the I'm saying, if you're paralleling not regarding to Tsuras Apas, but just that is talking about what bracha are you making on Orez. So when it's be'en, so you're going to make Barim Mizonos. When it's not Bitsura, whatever it is that Bitsura was.
You still make Mizonos.
No, but I'm saying maybe not.
No, the Tosefta says, Avo Pisha Prusos Kayamos. That means both Prusos in Kayamos and Prusos Kayamos, the din is the same. Mizonos and whatever you make afterwards. The point is the Tosefta, right? In other words, the only thing that differs from Chita and Orez is the Lechem aspect. David?
This might not be very grounded in the text, but is it possible that they were...
When you state a question like that in Shir, I guess that's a self-defense mechanism, but it's opening up for one to get certain sneers. Yes. Go ahead.
But is it possible that they were dealing with two different concepts of the bracha of Raymond and Mishanot, in that one implies a bracha achrona and a certain status, and the other one is just the bracha? And then when the Gemara later... challenges the girsa in the brayta which is used.
The main shalosh, the bracha
has it. To below klum, it's saying this is not the barei minim zonot that gives that Rabbi Shmuel are talking about. That's chashuv enough to give a bracha chat main shalosh. This is just the barei minim zonot that we're giving it, but really it doesn't have the same substance. It's below klum. In that way, this tiyufta here is. Or I guess is the tufa to the tiyufta, because the proof they use to knock them out is actually inconsequential.
You didn't say what you could have said better, even though I don't think it's correct, but you could have said that really what they were bothered by, you're saying they would when Rav and Shmuel said you make mizonos, it meant that Mizonos and Mayan Shalosh.
Right.
And once you knocked it out, it makes it clear that you're dealing with a different kind of Mizonos.
And
right? And therefore, only once we change it. It's very sharp. I don't think it's correct, but it's very sharp. The reason I don't like it, I have a bias in this case, is because I think that there's a different reason. I said it yesterday. How do you explain this anomaly of rice that you don't make a main shalosh? The explanation that I gave is that this fundamental chasm between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. The bracha achrona depends upon the pesukim in Ekev. The bracha rishona, certainly for the bavli, for certainly main shalosh, whereas the bracha rishona is a completely different issue. Right? Bracha rishona relates to function of the food. Bracha achrona, to some extent, relates much more to exeris hakasif. Or, you know, Shevach Shel Eretz Yisrael, let's put it that way. You know, Minim Shin Shtapu Bar Eretz Yisrael. So that's why I don't want to go down that road. But what you're saying is, so it has its appeal, this Tzvei Dinim Mizonos. The reason I don't like it is because, again, as you started the question with, it doesn't seem to emerge from the text. Now, methodologically speaking, it's not crazy. I'll tell you, it's not crazy, because whenever we have that, you know, it's sort of like the story, do you get drunk on Purim or not? The rhetorical question.
In other words, in terms of the Gemara.
Wormuth, what do you do on Purim actually? How many liters of alcohol do you drink now?
I've been in your house.
Yes. Okay. So what I meant is as follows. The Gemara right says that Chayavad Limbasume Bapuria, you know, to get spiced, Ben, is that what you call it? On Purim Adalo Yoda, and then the Gemara tells the story of Rab and Rab Zera and says, you know, one year they had a party and come Rab is Shachted Rab Zera, and Rab Zera decided not to party the next year. Because Nisim don't happen all the time, right? So everybody knows the Sheet of Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Meiri quotes is that it's a Masa Listor. So the question now, what that type is something that does exist, and Rishonim will use that when. Now, that's an obvious one because they put it back to back. So that would suggest more of a Masa Listor. But you're arguing, in effect, that type of a thing here, that even though the Gemara doesn't say Beferish, the Gemara ends up, you know, you would have liked the Gemara to be Merames more a little bit. Especially, I'll tell you especially why. Because it doesn't follow immediately on the heels of it, right? We have several discussions in between. All of a sudden, the Gemara wakes up and realizes, oh, by the way, I mean, Shalish is a problem, right? Now, first you have a discussion of... First you have, one second, Bari Mene's rhyme. So the other Girsa that exists in the... That's discussion one. Then you have... Right. No, I understand, but the Ikar topic of the Sugya has been put aside already. We're on to other things. Right?
Unless they view that whole thing as a unit, and then they go into the discussion.
Yeah, but... okay. Let's put it this way. It's the only good suggestion that's been presented in Shir to explain the position of the Gaonim. I'm not sure I like it, but it actually is not unreasonable. What David is suggesting, again, is that the... Is that the way the Gaonim would have understood the Gemara is that they understood Rav and Shmuel as asserting that there is this super category of Mazon, the super category of Mazon that they're talking about, which should include both Barim and Mazonis at the front, and Alamicha afterwards. So the Gemara brings the Tufta against them from the Braisa that the Shitas Chachamim, not Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, is a Mazonos and Mayan Shalosh. And then the Gemara notes later though that there's a problem. With the bracha achas mein shalosh, where it seems that you don't make a bracha achas mein shalosh, the shitas, whatever the shita is, so the Gemara ends up ending the brisa to say that in fact acharav velo klum, you don't make any bracha afterwards, you certainly don't make a mein shalosh, and so at that point David is saying, well then it turns out you've answered the kasha against Rav and Shmuel, because now what you've done is you've said, of course the brisa only teaches you that there's a bracha mezonos on rice, but there's no alamichi afterwards, so it's not really a mizonos type thing. It's a mizonos category B, and that wasn't what Rav and Shmuel were talking about. Rav and Shmuel were talking about mizonos, you know, bracha achas mein shalosh and so on, and that can stand the maskanas haGemara. The fact that the Gemara doesn't state it explicitly earlier, no. I'm not sure I love it, but it's the best answer that we have so far. Eitan.
But in the beginning, with
because it's shorthand. Again, listen.
Mazon.
Ask him.
Yeah, Dave.
Talk about anachronism now. Of imposing our... I know, I'm kidding. We're imposing our contrast upon them. The reason I find trouble buying into that is because in the Gemara's, even the Gemara's framework of discussion, we're dealing with Bracha Rishona now. And therefore, there's nothing to do with Bracha Achrona. And there's a whole suggestion in the first place that they meant the Mizonos, which has an Alamichya, is a little bit... Right, that's what Eitan's asking. You're saying, well, they just refer to it by the handle Bari Mamazonas, but now it's circular. Right?
It could also be that, because in light of the earlier discussion where the term Mazon is very hazy, they decide to shy away from hazy terminology.
So they said Bari Mamazonas?
Yeah, they said
what? They should have said Alamichya.
That makes sense.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah,
Ian?
So textually big.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rosh Chodesh right now, the diuk is the only thing that
is rejected.
That is rejected. Why does the Gemara make it seem that give the Rav Shmuel?
No, because I think the one point that is compelling is that the diuk, when we say, the truth is, the first din of Rav and Shmuel might as well have been rejected in totality. In other words, the Rosh Chodesh is simply saying we do make mezonos on those five things, but not only those five things. His point is that when the Gemara says tshuftah, don't think that the din is incorrect. It is. But the whole purpose of Rav and Shmuel coming to teach us the din from the Rashba's perspective, although maybe not from ours, and I'll explain why in a second, you may know this, from the Rosh Hashanah perspective, was it wasn't to teach you that you make mazonos on the Chamesh Shnei Nidalim, it was to take you make Chamesh Shnei Nidalim only on the Chamesh Shnei Nidalim. We might argue that given that the Mishnah doesn't mention the Bracha Mazonos, Rav and Shmuel, in fact, were coming to, you know, the way Rameir Lichtenstein said it was to import Birchas Aminim. I'm not convinced of that, but to at least import the Braisa into the practice in Bavel.
Even so, just regardless of whether it's the primary motive or not, they're still saying Chamesh Shnei Nidalim as opposed to other things, regardless of what their motivation is.
Okay, I'll grant you that. So anyway, so that part, so fundamentally we do reject Rav and Shmuel, but what they said on a literal level wasn't the Chiddush. The Diyuk is what the Chiddush was. So the Rashbash is pointing out to you that the first din, Lagamre, and the second din in its literal tzura are accepted. Okay. So anyway, so he just concludes the section. Vitzarach Iyun, the Halo Shaychi Hadodi, Kidamaran. Okay. So that's... So the maskana then, we have a machlokas hagonim and rishonim whether or not what bracha you make on rice, whether or not you make a they say shahakal,
yes,
which is odd in its own.
Well,
the
cook,
they say.
Yeah,
wait 1 second.
On millet or
it's
on rice?
Riff. It's the riff that he says.
No, but that may be pas. That may be pas dochan.
Yeah,
that
it is pas dochan.
Right.
It's also pas dochan.
But there's orez, or regular orez. Not, in other words, it may be the way some of the Rishonim say. Rabbi Yehuda says that's big. The tzura is an odd tzura. Yeah. Yeah. So in other words.
An
orez. Oh no. Okay. There you go. Right, and why should it be? Why should orez, when cooked, which is the normal way of eating, be any less than kosher as orez? Right, that's hard to imagine. So pas orez might be different. Okay. Right, right. You can make the argument at least. Okay, fine. Are there any questions about this? Okay, I think that we have, I wouldn't say beaten this horse to death, but I think we have sufficiently analyzed it.
This is
excellent. Are there any other questions? We haven't spoken of dochan yet. We now. Maybe. I'm not arguing definitely. I'm just saying, because Shinui, I don't buy into the Shinui business, but some Rishonim do. You see the two Teirutz in Rabbeinu Yonah. I like the one much better, which says that Ikar Achilaso. That's much better than, because I hate the idea of the Shinui. I want to make my Hayitz on orange juice, and I can't buy into the Shinui concept. Shinui alone doesn't work for me, but it may work what I do, but I don't like it. So I don't like that Teirutz arena. I like the other Teirutz much better, that if people don't normally make it into bread, so then you don't. Then it's really the idea of nishtana legriusa to some extent exists. In other words, we're going to see that in shlakos. And that notion, shlakos, the issue is not about shinui, because shinui sometimes gets you hadama, shinui sometimes loses you hadama. So it's not about shinui per se. It's about derech achilasa. So that I think less mandapalig is already an amoreic concept. But the idea so far, what I don't know exists at all explicit in the Gemara, is the idea that shinui alone, except for in a situation when there's Iluy Achrina, has an effect upon the bracha, right? Because the pashtus of the Mishnah is that Shinui has no effect on the bracha.
What about the fact that rice cannot be eaten on a bracha?
Because sometimes people do apparently. That's a question. Why is kosis a chita hadama also? So, what's that? No, as opposed to a shahakal. If it's not the normal way, no, that's a question you have to ask just when we do shlakos, okay? Fine. So we're going to discuss it tangentially a number of times, this issue of nishtana, but it's really going to be our ikar and lamed chesam and beis when you get to the machlokas about shelek. Okay, so that we'll focus on more there. Okay, so now, what perhaps actually. I don't want to get started on the Dochan right now because it's going to take a little time to get through. So let's actually just read Tosos. Let's see if we can read. I'll read. I haven't prepared, but the two last Tosos in Malam and Zion. I'm not, so we can sort of deal with them, okay? Because I don't want to explore further Rabbeinu Tam's interesting Shita. And by the way, parenthetically, when you have time in general, I take it as a given you should be doing Rashi and Tosos. I know sometimes you may not have time, but that's sort of a... We may not read all of it, but I would hope that you'll do that. So kosis chita tzarach levarach ala bari priadama sherei afilu bekimcha dechite amrinan le'el mevarachan ala bari priadama. Okay, so at least according to Rav Yehuda, although Rav Nachman lo sfer le'achim mishum dishtanu. Okay, here Tosfos just says because it was nishtana. Therefore, Rav Nachman says you make a shakal. But if it wasn't nishtana, kosis achita makes adama. Umihu b'la'ach Rav Yesh l'sapek mai mevarachin. But what do you do after kosis achita? Im mevarachin ala mechia v'ala kalkala misayim ala adama v'al pri adama. Would you say, in other words, we know that generally speaking, after grain products, you make an ala mechia, you make some kind of bracha afterwards. Now, ala mechia is the is analogous to mazon. So perhaps you would say a mesiyim you would make ala adama val pri adama. So Tosfos, do you really say that? The lo ashkachan birchas ala mechia val kalkala elahecha de baruch alaya bereisha kodem achila barim mizonos. Only fine. You're not going to say regular ala mechia because that only exists when you make a barim mizonos before. So the question is, would you then say that you make a new bracha tailored barim pri adama? Rabbi Nutam higia b'masar shelo. Ala adam va pri adama. Rabbi Nutam, remember, wasn't printed, so he made a hagah. Apparently, he had some type of written machzor. He made a hagah which said ala adam va pri adama. Gabe.
Does this mean necessarily he made a hagah in his written machzor that he made for himself, or that he had it work like the machzor vitri, like called machzor Rabbi Nutam?
I assume that machzor vitri was written.
What's that?
You mean a sitter versus a sefer? You mean a sitter versus a sefer nusach?
Or like something like the Mahzor Vitri, which is like a compendium.
I don't know. That's a good question.
There's a sefer I've seen, which is, I mean, it's a modern book taken from all the quotes of Rabbeinu Tam on the liturgy. I mean, just from fragments that have been quoted in Tosfos and in other compendia. It's about this thick called Pirushat Tefillos for Rabbeinu Tam. A lot of interesting stuff in there. So if there's that much, he may have had a sefer that he...
Okay. Maybe it'll be. Well, that's not a bracha. That's loklum.
So why not loklum? Why?
Because Tosfos doesn't think in those terms. In other words, Tosfos will come to say bar nefashos, but the point is that's not a real bracha for Tosfos. If it gets a bracha, Tosfos only knows of one bracha achas, and that's mayin shalosh. Because they're not thinking in terms of Yushalmi. They haven't considered that option. Right, as Yushalmi would say on rice you make a, you know, alar tzvela ma'adaneha.
So why does he think you need a bracha?
Because normally on grain you make a special bracha. In other words, how do you know on grain that you make a bracha achas mein shalosh? Because the psukim. So a kosis achita also should require something. You might only make ha'adama before. So what we know is that on kosis achita you don't make berachas hamazon, even according to Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Nitami gave a master shelo al adama pri adama v'chazer bo. Then he eventually retracted. Lo ashkechan b'shum makom hach bracha. The lekam and mefarish bracha achas mein shalosh v'kaamar b'chamesh esamin al aretz v'al mechia v'al shiv esamin al aretz v'al peros. The al adama pri adama lo hiskir. So firstly, the Gemara never says that. Never mentions a nosach bracha al adama pri adama. The od mit kaamar hach ala kosis esachita mevarich bar pri adama. It says in the Brisa you make a bar pri adama v'ka'amar behedyat chanav afo pas ad imena prusas kayamas betchina v'barach bar menezonos v'sof brach asmein shalosh. So then it continues to say what happens, however, if instead of chewing it raw you process it, and it says that you make a bracha afterward, bracha before, bracha afterwards. It tells you what it is. Umedeloka tani hachi gabi koseis achita v'varach l'achar bracha achas mein shalosh shmamina debekoseis leka bracha l'achar mein shalosh. Okay. Now, when the Gemara says, so Tosfos says the pashtus of the brayse is mashmi, you don't make a bracha after kosis. And that includes kosis as achita.
Meaning
so,
you
said we're in the pashtus
for
Tosfos. He hasn't said anything yet, yes, but he hasn't said anything. Pas. The Mishnah later says that if you have grain but you don't make it into bread, you make an al mecha afterwards. Mayri davdinu ke'en tayas de chashiva. The chashiva oz achilaso. Avol hakosis is achita chai. The lo chashiva achilaso kolkach. Avogav dehi min chamesha saminim en mevarech la'achav bracha achsmein shalosh. Ela he you are gay bar nefashos rabbos. Okay. So now, however, miu omer hari sheyesh l'sapek shema chachamim kaili lebahu min dagan v'laso apas. Maybe the chachamim included in that statement. Now, presumably the bracha would be what then? Al hamechia, you know, the way we remain shalosh, the way we do it. In other words, that's included in min dagan v'lo aso pas. What's that? Yes. Yes. Kohen means they include it. Shema Chacham Kaidin Le Bahu Min Dagan V'lo So Pas. In that Mishnah, they meant to. They imply. They include Kosis Zachita V'Chacham Rebachas Main Shalosh. And that's, they would hold, therefore you make an alamichya, no matter how you consume grain if it's not bread. Therefore, v'nachon l'hachmir shein lechol klayas ochitim shlukos ele betel chasuda, sh'azbir chasamazon potraton, im lo nismachu yafeh. So it is appropriate to eat, and I think im lo nismachu yafeh goes back on the klayas ochitim shlukos. If they're not really dissolved, so they're not like ke'en dayasa, ke'en dayasa, then it's appropriate not to eat them, not to eat them except in a suda where the berachas hamazon will exempt you. Here's an important point. Generally speaking, when you have a suffix, what bracha do you make? Shahakol. But that only helps you before; it doesn't help you afterwards. And that's why, if you have a food that's not that there's no suffix at the bracha chrona, if you don't know whether to make a hadama or eight, you make a hadama. As long as you know the bracha chrona is going to be the same thing. And if you're suffic, whether or not it's, you know, shahakal or in other words, if you have a suffic about your cornflakes, let's take cornflakes as an example. You don't know whether you make adama, whether you make a, what's that? Shahakal. I'm not asking, but let's say you think there's a suffic. If you're not sure about your cornflakes, whether you make a shahakal, I don't want to get into flour arm. That's the whole point, because that creates the bracha on the suffic. So I have my cornflakes. I don't know whether I make a shahakal or a bari pri adama, but I know I make a bar nefashis afterwards. There's no din. There's no notion in halacha that I'm aware of being machmir not to eat cornflakes unless you eat it in a meal. No such thing. You make a if you think it's a salad, you make a shahakal, period. And then you make a bar nefashis. But here, that doesn't help. What? Miman of shach.
Okay, miman of shach. Either
it's either hadama
like
and bar nefashis,
or it's like.
I'm not even worried about being alright. Hadama. It's either Hadama or Shahakal. Chaim?
Why can't Bari Nefashos be an all-inclusive Bracha Achrona?
Because it's not. The reason why is the following. Nobody would say that you may say Bari Nefashos on bread that you're Yotze. Firstly, it's not. You, if you think about the origin of the Bracha, it's not.
No, but the way we have it now, it seems to be pretty all-inclusive.
Yes, and I don't want to tell you that you can't find somebody who says something somewhere about it, but from a logical perspective, simply, the reason it's no good is because you need to mention Mazon, Eretz, and Yerushalayim, which we do in Brachas HaMazon, and we do in Brachas HaMein Shalosh. And Bar Nefashos has virtually none of them. I mean, the closest thing it has Mazon in some sense, in some remote sense. Okay. Okay, and therefore Tosa says, Uriushalmi, Yeshagam Amrai Hayumusupakim, the Kaamar Hadain, the Achos Solus, Perish Kleos, my Mavarach Besofer, Vim Loachalis Solus Menyoma. He skips a line in the Ushalmi, but he never ate it because. Right, now the question is, why didn't he eat it in the middle of a meal, though? The Ushalmi says he never ate it. I don't know.
Oh, because Ushalmi is a different
sheet about. What exempts? What talks to that? I don't know. Okay. Anyway. The last Tosfos, which is a particularly fascinating one, which is my favorite Tosfos, which is actually on the next Brisa, but we don't have to read the Gemara. I assume some of you may have read the Gemara already, or you're aware of it. The Brisa says that Rabbi Gamliel gave Rabbi Akiva Rishus Lavarich. I mentioned this Tosfos already. And Kavatz Rabbi Akiva Uberach Bracha Hasmei and Shalosh. So Rabbi Gamliel wanted to make Berachas Hamazon. So Tosfos asks, and there's really nothing to do with this Gemara, I think, Savar Hayu Sheivarech Gemo Brachos Kemal Shahaya Sover. He thought that Rabbi Akiva would follow his own sheet of him. Tomar the Rabbi Gamliel akaimalanda in zaman al peiros. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, you don't make a zimun on peiros. So why was Rabbi Akiva, if that's what was involved here, not lechem? Why was Rabbi Akiva? Why were they making a zimun that he was asking Rabbi Akiva to lead them? V'yeshlomo the Rabbi Gamliel hayisavur shayim avarich al kol shivas aminim gimel brachos shleimos v'chiberich Rabbi Akiva. Me'ein shalosh li'atzmo davka the kaimalan imizam. What is his answer here? That's not the part I'm interested in. Hold on 1 second. How does Tosas answer the question? Well, that's what I would thought the answer is. He just doesn't sound like that.
But I think that is the kind of lay. Only Rikiva,
Okay, I have to sit and figure that out. Strange line. Im Tomar, I'm going to go to the next line, is the part that I was interested in. The Rebbe Gamliel, the Amar Shalish Bracha. I will come back and figure out what that first line means. The Im Tomar, the Rebbe Gamliel, the Amar Gimel Bracha Shlemus, the Sfirle de Mizam, and Al Shivas Aminim, the Sfirle de Bracha Tunakos, Im Ken Yizamnu, Vachin Ken Yizamnu, the Olam. Okay, he's going to, really not Yizamnu, but he's going to have to make Birchas HaMazon the Olam, right? Because the one guy who leads the Birchas HaMazon, is going to get stuck in an infinite loop. So right now he's working with all the people, all of them. In other words, the assumption that everybody would share part of the coast. So Tosa says, maybe they won't drink. But then he says, okay, so you get around the Zeman problem, but what about that guy, the one guy who has to have the kosh shel bracha and has to taste from it, so what is he going to do? The Tosas here does two interesting things. Firstly, he says he only drank a malo lugmav. How much is a malo lugmav? Is that enough of a shear? It shouldn't be, because it's less than a revius normally, unless it's Ogmel Chabashan, because the shear of shtia on Yom Kippur is less than the shear of shtia l'chol tarakula, right? The rule is that on Yom Kippur is supposed to revius and kazayis, it's malolugmav and kikosevas agasa. The kikosevas agasa is larger than a kazayis, the malum is smaller than revius. The reason why the shirim differ is because it's about yisuvei dait. It's about being miyashiv is das, about being mevatel the inui. It's not about achila and shtia per se. So malalugmav is generally smaller than that. So first, some rishonim may say that you drink pachas mikashir, but Tosa says something funny. Tosa says that you drink only a malalugmav, not kvius, so you do have to make a bracha achrona. But what bracha achrona do you make? Me'ein shalosh. Now, Tosa's question, interesting enough, is predicated upon his read of the Mishnah later. Rabbi Gamliel, the answer is he might never have a Mein Shalosh, because what does he have? He has a Brachachas. Right? His Brach... Anyway. Okay, so this is the really funny Tosas. Okay, so tomorrow I would like to get through a chunk of the Oris piece, and we will do the Gemaras and hopefully get to the Rabbeinu Yonah as well. That might take just a little bit longer. After this, you should also go ahead and do the next Gemara. And then shortly, by next week, I hope to get to Challah. Okay? And what do we do with bagels? Okay? You should find out for yourself. What?
The slivered
bagels. The what?
The slivered pieces of
bagels.
Bagel chips.
Oh, the bagel chips. Yes.
I made bagels last night.
What's that?
I made bagels.
You made bagels? You boiled them in water? And then you baked them? Are they good? What kind of flour do you use? You mean a general purpose? Okay, because if you get general purpose, I can check and likely get you yashin, I can taste your bagels. Okay.